it's tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Horror coming up in this hour, later on from the Lights Out series from 1938. But right now, from radio's outstanding theater of thrills, suspense, the tale called Feathers, from January 14th, 1962, on CBS.
You pull that trigger, you kill me, Feathers, and I'll come back and haunt you. I'll come back and haunt you for the rest of your days. Don't you forget that.
Listen now to Act One of Feathers, starring Lawson Zerbe, and written especially for Suspense by Jonathan Bundy.
Hey, Pete! Come on, Pete, open up. I know you're in there. Hey, Amy, sit, open up. I gotta bust down this lousy door.
Okay. All right, now, what's the gag? What's the idea of trying to make out like you wasn't here?
Because I thought maybe it was you, Feathers.
Yeah, it's me. I want to know where you been. Why you ain't been out collecting for me. Why I got to...
Well. Now, look at that. Now, that's what I call a real nice-looking set of luggage, Petey.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. You know, I had a feeling today. You know those feelings I get, Petey, when the stars and the moon ain't right for me? Like that astrology, you know, that star reader said? The one I go to have my fortune told?
Oh, that's just a lot of superstition, Feathers.
Oh, well, you call it superstition, huh? When one of them lucky horseshoes I got fell off the wall this morning, when all of a sudden this lucky rabbit's foot here starts kicking around in my pocket, you call that superstition?
Yes, I do.
Well, I don't. Because they told me something was wrong, Pete, so that's why I come up here looking for you. And what do I find? Instead of you out on a job, you're locked up in here with all this nice, new, fancy luggage.
So what?
And all full up, too. Now, how about that? You're thinking of maybe taking a little trip, Petey boy, huh? Oh, come on. Now, you wouldn't be keeping any secret from your old pal Feathers, would you? When a guy that picked you up off of the bread line, knocked some of those hick ideas out of your head, showed you how to make yourself a little easy dough here in a big city... Now, you wouldn't be holding out on me now, would you, Petey?
Oh, wait.
Come on, I asked you, kid. You think you're going someplace?
Yes.
Oh, you do, huh?
I'm going on back to Kansas, and I'm going to face up to it and admit that I couldn't make an honest go of it here in the city. I'm leaving just as soon as I can finish packing here.
Well, that's what you think, but... Nobody walks out on me, you understand? But nobody. I'll kill you first, Petey. You understand that? I'll kill you.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. You'd be too scared that I might come back and haunt you.
What?
Yeah. You better think about that, hadn't you?
No, because that's something I don't believe in.
Well, you better believe in one thing. I'm through with all this, Feathers, and I'm getting out.
Oh, you are. You're too good for this kind of work, huh? Is that it?
If I'd had sense enough to realize what a rotten, crooked business this money-lending racket of yours was going to turn out to
now
be...
Now, listen,
to...
you two-bit punk. You was tickled silly for a chance to hook up with me, and you know it.
Oh, sure, at first. Because I was all alone. I was broke and I was hungry. I didn't even have a place to sleep.
That's right.
I was so down and out, I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, well, you're eating plenty good now, ain't you? You got a place to sleep. You got lots of fancy clothes. What else do you want?
I
want to
get away from this filthy racket of yours.
What do you mean, racket? Yeah, racket.
In the beginning, it looked as though maybe you were doing a favor to... some of those poor people who didn't know how to go out and borrow from a bank or from some place legitimate. What if you did charge them 15, 20% on a loan? You were giving them a hand, helping them out, tiding them over.
That's right.
Sure. So I was glad to go out and help collect for you because I thought you were okay. And I didn't even blame you too much when you'd beat up on some of those stumble bums. Those winos who never figured on paying you back. But when you started pyramiding on them, on the people who really needed help when they couldn't pay off right away, charging them 30%, 50%, 100%. And then when you told me I had to beat up that lame kid, the newsie, because he couldn't come up with the dough.
Oh, did you? Did you rough him up and get the money out of him?
No.
Oh, I know you didn't. That's another reason I come up here, to find out why you didn't.
Because I tell you, Feathers, I'm through. I'm going on back home where I can live it decent again.
That's where you're wrong, Petey.
You can't stop me.
Can't I? Now you listen to me, Buster. And look at this.
You pull that gun on me.
Who said anything about a gun? You see this?
You and your crazy superstition.
You can call it anything you want, Petey, but when I found this rabbit foot, I found you the same day. I knew I was lucky.
You think that rabbit's foot had anything to do with it, or all those horseshoes you keep around?
I know they did.
That's superstition.
I told you, you call it anything you want. But they and you got me started in the big dough, and they never let me down, see? And they ain't going to let me down now. And that means that you are staying around with them to keep my good luck coming in.
No. Now get out of here so I can finish packing up and leave.
Now, wait a minute. Back to Kansas, huh?
Yes,
of course.
Or
maybe down to the DA's office,
huh? Well,
because
oh,
you've got
minute.
Wind that he's investigating this racket all over town. You heard about
no,
that.
No,
so that's
no,
it,
no,
huh?
No.
That's it. So maybe you thought that you'd get out by turning stooly, huh?
No, I never even thought of it.
No, but now you're thinking about it, ain't you? Oh, yeah, I could tell just by looking at that silly map of yours.
Oh, you're crazy.
I'm getting out of here, and it's all right now. So if you'll just...
What?
You better put down those bags, Petey.
Put away the gun, Feathers. Get out of my way.
You hear me, Buster. You're staying right here.
Feathers, you pull that trigger.
You think I wouldn't?
You pull that trigger. You kill me, Feathers, and I will come back and haunt you. I'll come back and haunt you for the rest of your days. Now, don't you forget that. Now, get out of my way.
Oh, you want it, don't you? You're really asking for it. You think maybe you can scare me, don't you? Well, you can't, because you ain't leaving here. Now, you sit down them bags, and you listen to me. You hear me? Set them down. Now, I warned you, Peter.
Out of my way.
Oh, no, you don't
swing on me again, Feathers.
I bet I will.
I might have known. That was the only kind of language a crook like you would understand.
I guess I was wrong, Petey, wasn't I, huh? Pulling this gun on you?
You are plenty wrong.
Won't you listen to me just for a minute, huh, Petey?
Sorry, I'm leaving.
You gonna turn your back on the one guy who tried to help you, Petey?
Tried to help me?
Now, you shouldn't do that, kid. You shouldn't turn your back.
So long, Feathers. Good luck.
Hold it, Pete.
You're too late.
Am I? Oh. Cross me, will you? You love me too big, punk.
So, figure it out, Gilroy. Either we pin this murdering Feathers Grogan or the press and radio and all the civic groups start tearing into us again. And you know what that means. There'll be a shake-up in this police department we'll never live down. So if you want to keep on eating regular, you better get busy and slap it on him.
I know, Captain, but the only evidence we have against him is circumstantial. If it wasn't for that usury charge, we wouldn't be able to hold him at all.
Yeah, and the way these soft-hearted juries have been behaving lately, we'll be lucky if they don't let him off on probation. Now, Gilroy, somehow we got to pin this murder on him and once and for all put him where he belongs.
But how, sir? When the only one who actually saw the murder happens to be very, very dead.
Yeah. Too bad this isn't the old days when you could beat the truth out of a punk like that.
Well, now, you're not suggesting, are you, Captain?
No, I'm not suggesting. Just keep on it, Gilroy, and keep me posted.
Yes, sir. Oh, Captain...
Yeah?
If you should happen to get any ideas...
Don't worry, I'll pass them on to you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm
sorry, mister. Sorry.
Quite all right. Captain Nichols?
Nichols here.
Right over there at his desk.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, put them on. Well, good morning, Commissioner. How are you this... Yeah. Oh, well, we are making progress, sir, and we... Well, no, we haven't, but I've assigned Lieutenant Gilroy to the case, and I'm sure... Oh, yes, sir, of course I am. Yes, sir. But until some tangible evidence, some... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I know, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, young man.
Captain Nichols?
Look, I'm afraid I'm pretty busy right now, so if it's something that can...
Good Lord.
Weldon.
Yes, sir.
Peter Weldon, but you can't be. I saw you lying there in a morgue myself. I even ordered your burial. You're dead.
Oh, no, no, Captain. My brother.
And we have half of this department out trying to... What was that?
It was my brother you saw.
Your brother?
Yes, sir. Peter. The one who was murdered.
Oh, brother. Oh.
Yes, sir. My name is Richard. Richard Weldon.
Yeah, sir. Well, you sure give me a shock, Mr. Weldon.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. But, sir, help me, when I turned away from this phone and I saw you standing here, I... So you're Peter Weldon's twin, huh?
No, sir. Peter was a year and a half younger, sir, but I guess we've always pretty closely resembled each other since we've grown up, I mean.
Resembled? It's uncanny. Well, I suppose you've come to see me in regard to Peter's death. Sit down, please.
Thank you. Yes, I read about it in the papers out in Chicago. That's where I live.
Well, we didn't know of any relatives, Mr. Weldon, or of course we'd have notified you.
Have you been able to find the man who killed my brother?
Well, let's say we're working on it.
Well, perhaps I can be of some help to you.
Oh? Well, just how much do you know about the case?
Well, only what I read in the paper, sir, but then I got some letters from Peter recently.
Yeah?
Yes, you see, after leaving the old farm out in Kansas after our parents died, Peter and I went to Chicago, where I live now.
Yeah?
You see, Peter had never finished his education, Captain, so he had a kind of rough time of it. I mean, you know, one job after another and never really getting anywhere, so... Well, finally, about a year ago, he thought he'd try his luck here in this city.
Uh-huh, I see.
Well, I didn't hear from him then until about, 3 months ago, when he wrote to me that he'd gone into partnership with a man by the name of Feathers Grogan.
Feathers? Go on, Mr. Weldon.
Well, Peter had told me very little about the sort of work they were engaged in, but, well, it wasn't very reassuring to find out they were in the money-lending business.
Business, Mr. Weldon. It was a racket, usury of the worst kind.
I suspected as much, sir. Well, anyhow, in a letter I received just a few days ago, Peter said he had found Grogan to be a crook. And so he was planning to leave him, go on back to Kansas. Before I could write to congratulate him on his decision, suggest he try again in Chicago where I could possibly help him, I read him. Of his death. His murder.
Yeah. And have you reached the same conclusion we have that Feathers Grogan killed your brother?
Yes, sir. And I take it you know all about this man, Feathers.
Yeah, we sure do. He's cooling his heels downstairs in the lockup.
Then you have the evidence necessary to convict him.
Oh, no, Mr. Weldon. Instead of a murder charge, he's only being held in connection with the DA's investigation of the money-lending racket. The only evidence we have that he killed your brother is purely circumstantial. You see, Peter apparently had packed his bags and was getting ready to walk out on Grogan when Grogan intercepted him. Argued with him, and they had a fight. During that fight, Peter must have struck Feathers in the face. He still bears an identifiable mark from that old ring your brother wore.
Yes?
Well, what's more, immediately after that, a series of shots was heard. And a man answering Feather's general description was seen leaving the place out through a back alley.
You need more than that, Captain?
Wait, Mr. Weldon. Victims of their racket have testified one after another. And there was obvious friction between them. And there's other evidence, lots of it, and it's all good. Except for one thing.
What's it?
Feathers Grogan has trumped up, or rather bought himself, an alibi that, try as we may, we simply can't break. Oh, you know it's a phony, we're sure of it, but there's no way that we can prove that.
I see.
So we're at a standstill.
At least you have him locked up, though.
And what'll happen? He'll pay a little fine, perhaps even get a short prison term for his loan shark practices, but so far as your brother's murder is concerned, he's going to get... Wait a minute.
Yes?
Wait.
Yes, sir.
Superstitious.
What?
Feathers, terribly superstitious. He literally begged to have his rabbit's foot left with him. Yeah. And he almost cried when he accidentally broke the little mirror that he shaves with there in his cell. Look. Look, Weldon, I got an idea.
Yes, Captain.
This almost unbelievable resemblance. And I know it sounds fantastic, but it just might work.
Yeah, well, what is it, sir?
Look, I'm going to have him transferred right away. There's one cell down there that's completely isolated from the rest. And that's where I'll have him put, because in that particular cell, he can be watched without his knowing it. Watched and listened to. Now, if we should pick the proper time, say like at midnight, when all the ghostly, supernatural things we hear about that he believes in are supposed to happen, and if you're willing to cooperate, Mr. Weldon...
Yes, sir.
Tell me, you believe in ghosts?
What? Of course not.
Maybe you will, sir, after tonight. All right, now you think you have enough light in here, Brady, so you can get everything Grogan says done in shorthand?
Yes, sir, Captain. Plenty of light.
Gilroy?
Tape recorder's all set, Captain. I only hope that when he wakes up, Grogan doesn't hear it, get suspicious.
Well, with all the noise we've made so far hasn't even disturbed his slumbers, I think we'll be okay. Now, what's holding up Mr. Weldon? He called me from his hotel and said he'd be here at the stroke of midnight. It's now all... Anyway, here it comes.
Yeah. Holy mother of... But look at him, Captain, so help me. He looks more like Pete Weldon than Pete himself did before we buried him, even the clothes.
Yeah, I know. Quiet now. All right. Start the tape recorder, Gilroy.
Right, sir.
Feathers. Feathers Grogan. Wake up, Feathers.
Yeah, what?
I said wake up, Feathers. Wake up.
Oh, why don't you leave me alone, huh? Will you leave me alone?
Wake up.
You heading it, Brady?
Right, sir.
Wake up and look at me, Feathers. I said, look at me.
I said, why don't you guys in this dumpling... Pete Weldon.
That's right. I said I'd come back, didn't I?
No. No, get out of here. Go away and leave me alone. You're a ghost.
Never, Feathers. Never will I leave you alone.
Listen. You gotta listen to me, please.
It's no use, Grogan. I'll haunt you to the end of your days.
No.
Everywhere you look, you'll see me. Do you understand? Forever. Unless you tell them what you did to me.
Tell them?
Yes. Unless you tell them. Confess.
But I can't. I tell the cops how I killed you, they'll burn me for it.
That's right. Burn you. Justice.
Pete, I didn't mean to kill you. Honest, I didn't. I only wanted to scare you, Pete. I was afraid you were going to squeal to the DA so you could clear yourself when they caught up with me the way they done.
No, Feathers.
Honest, Pete, I only meant to scare you. You got to believe me, see?
No, Feathers, that's a lie, and you know it. Because you didn't know I was planning to walk out on you. You went to my room for another reason. To kill me. So there'd be no more split of the profits. Well, didn't you?
I hadn't thought of that.
Answer me.
Could be, Captain.
Isn't that the way it really was?
Oh.
Feathers?
How did you know that?
In my present form, I know many things. Confess, Feathers, confess.
All right. That's the way I done it. That's why I killed you. So now will you leave me alone? I told you, stop haunting me this way. Will you leave me alone? Get it out of here. Somebody help. Get this thing out of here before I...
Looks to me like he's passed out, Captain.
Yeah, right, Captain.
Okay. You boys have it all down?
Yes, sir. Sure have.
Yeah, me too.
All right, then, come along back to my office so you can transcribe your notes, Brady, and we can thank Mr. Weldon for his pretty astonishing impersonation.
Boy, he sure did the trick. You know, if Grogan doesn't sign this confession...
Yes, sir, Captain. In that dim light there in Grogan's cell, Mr. Richard Weldon looked so much like a ghost. He even sounded like one. Believe me.
You know, boys, I'm free to admit it almost startled me for a minute there. In spite of having planned the whole thing. I thought maybe my plan had caught up with my imagination and yours. The way that Grogan's conscience caught up with him.
Well, you're going to see the fastest confession on record.
And if he hesitates, all we have to do is play back the tape.
Say this, and it'd scare me into signing almost anything.
Here we are now. You can use that typewriter in the corner, Brady.
All right, sir.
Sit down, Gilroy.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you this, sir.
What?
This is sure going to help to get the commissioner off our necks for a change.
Yeah. And all thanks to Mr. Richard Weldon for the way he carried off his end of things, huh? Which reminds me, I wonder what gave him the idea for the real reason Grogan killed his brother. How could he have known that, huh?
What I wonder is where he is. Do you suppose he got lost trying to find his way up here to your office?
I thought he'd be up here waiting for us. Hope he didn't just go on back to the hotel.
Maybe I'd better go downstairs and take a look for him.
Yeah, good idea. Also, maybe you better look in on Grogan and make sure he's recovered from his little fainting spell.
Yes, sir. You want me to take that?
No, I'll get it. Hold on, Brady, will you?
Yes, sir.
Nichols here.
Captain. Captain Nichols?
Yeah?
This is Richard Weldon.
Yeah, I know. Say, where'd you go to, Mr. Weldon? We were just about to go down to look for you.
I'm sorry, Captain. I'm terribly sorry.
Sorry? Well, I certainly don't see why.
Well, I mean that I couldn't get there tonight, as promised.
That you couldn't do what?
That I couldn't get down to the jail, sir. You see, as I left my hotel on the way down there, I started crossing the street, and I'm afraid I was a little careless. I got run down by a taxi cab.
Mr. Weldon, you...
Yes, I banged up my leg a bit, and I'm calling now from my room here at Valley Hospital.
Valley Hospital?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
But I'm in good hands, sir. They've taken x-rays, and I'm sure it's nothing at all serious. So, if it's all right with you, Captain, we can do the ghost act for Grogan, say, tomorrow night. Captain?
Why, that won't be necessary, Richard.
What, sir? Not necessary?
No. You see, someone else did the job for us.
Oh, now, really? You must be joking. Who could possibly have done a job like that?
Your brother, Peter.
Suspense. You've been listening to Feathers, starring Lawson Zerbe and written especially for Suspense by Jonathan Bundy. Suspense is produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr., music supervision by Ethel Huber. Featured in tonight's story were Ian Martin as Captain Nichols, Robert Reddick as Feathers, John Thomas as Lieutenant Gilroy, and Bill Mason as Sergeant Brady. Listen again next week when we return with 2461, written by George Bamber. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense, untuned to yesterday from January 14th, 1962 on CBS. This is an hour of horror, untuned to yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Our next broadcast is Lights Out from March 16th, 1943, and that particular day sounded like most days on radio during the Second World War. War commentaries and news from people like Gabriel Heater and H.V. Kaltenborn. Also programs like On That Day, the Mutual Broadcasting System series This Is Our Enemy, produced by the Office of War Information. Even the comedy program Fibber McGee and Molly, which was heard that Tuesday night, featured an anti-Nazi song about halfway through the show. And the producer and writer of Lights Out, Arch Obler, contributed many patriotic and thought-provoking war stories during the Second World War, but with his horror series Lights Out, his aim was pure escape. This episode next from March 16, 1943 on CBS is called The Dream.
Lights out. Everybody.
Nights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. Dreams are part of all of our lives, and tonight we bring you the story of a woman's strange dream. But first, Frank Martin for just a moment.
Frankly now, friends, is that you saying you're so thin and weak and frazzled out you can't do your work or enjoy your fun? Well, cheer up. Maybe all you need is more vitamin B and iron. And ironized yeast gives you vitamin B and iron. Yes, both vital substances in pleasant-to-take tablet form. And now, lights out. Everybody.
Claire! Claire.
Yes, Charles?
Time is it?
8.
Well, you haven't been asleep.
No.
Not at all?
No.
Oh, that's terrible. Claire, we've got to do something about it.
What?
Why don't you take some pills or something?
No.
But you've got to sleep. Claire, look here. Tell the truth. How long is it since you slept? Really slept?
What's the difference?
Tell me.
3 nights.
No.
You asked me.
I had no idea. I thought you slept, but didn't sleep soundly, but 3 nights.
You'd better get up. It's late.
Oh, never mind me. We've got to do something about this. You, Claire, what's wrong?
Wrong?
The reason. The reason you can't sleep there. Must be some sort of a reason.
I just don't sleep.
All right. That settles it.
What?
You're going to a doctor today. Yes, this morning.
No.
What do you mean, no? No wonder you've been looking so ill.
Charles, I don't want
it's
to.
It's settled. You're going to a doctor right away. Wait a minute. Look at me. You're not hiding anything from me.
What is there to hide? I just can't sleep.
Heart action, lungs, everything quite normal. Of course, you're in rather a nervous state, but that's quite understandable. If, as you say, you haven't slept for that length of time.
I haven't.
Of course, I believe you. Please, won't you sit down?
Thank you.
What's troubling you, Mrs. Collins?
Troubling?
Yes.
Nothing at all. If you're quite through, I think I'm going home. I have to...
No, please, sit down. I'm warning you, Mrs. Collins, to go without sleep for as protracted a period of time as you have is most dangerous, physically and mentally. For your own sake, you must let me help you.
What can I do?
Have confidence in me. Now, your husband tells me you refuse to take any sort of soporific, sleeping powder. Is that true?
Yes.
It follows then that you don't want to fall asleep. Is that true? Well, Mrs. Collins, I said it before, and I say it again in complete sincerity. For your own sake, you must answer me. It's true, isn't it, that you don't want to fall asleep?
Yes.
Why?
I don't dare.
Why?
Because I'll dream.
And you don't want to dream?
No.
Why not? All right, then. Tell me this. How often have you had this dream?
2 times.
I see. What is this recurring dream about, Mrs. Collins?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
I just can't.
My dear woman, don't you realize I'm not just prying for the sake of simply prying? I'm trying to help you. And the way to help you is for you to help yourself by bringing this thing out into the open. You've got to tell me about it. A dream generally has a basis in reality. If we talk about it, perhaps we can find the underlying cause of the dream and so eliminate it. Don't hesitate to tell me. You know I'm a physician. Everything you tell me is in confidence. Supposing we start. You go to sleep, close your eyes, you dream. What do you dream?
I dream. No, I can't tell you.
Mrs. Collins, where are you? Well, I'll be...
Strong.
Would you hang a towel on the doorknob?
Yes.
Gotta get out now. Yeah, I hope they don't ration hot water this part of the country. Brother, I have to miss my goodnight tub. My morale will go lower than Hitler's conscience.
Towel's on the knob.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Thanks, dear. I found on the shelf. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Nothing like a tub to make a man sleep.
Claire. Oh, yeah. Where's that rope? I'm sure gonna find out. Oh, Claire. Claire, the doctor.
What, Charles?
The doctor. I was so busy all day, and then you didn't... Well, what happened? What did he say?
He said I was all right.
But, well, was that all? Didn't he say what was the cause?
No.
Well, what in the...
He didn't seem to know.
It's crazy. I mean, when I got to the office, your sleeplessness was all I could think of. And then C.L. started to have one of his desk-banging fits, and then New York started in on the teletype, and I forgot all about it. The doctor, he did prescribe something for you, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, of course. Pills are what you need. You just got yourself into an insomnia state of mind, but once sleeping pills breaks you of it, why, you'll be all right. Yeah. Pardon me. I guess I'm tired. Yeah. What do you say we turn out the light and both of us go to sleep, huh?
All right.
Wait a minute. You taken whatever the doctor gave you?
Yes.
Fine. Well,
off of the light, huh? You will be all right, isn't it?
I'll be all right.
Yeah. Sure you will.
Pills will start to work in a few minutes. They'll be all right. Sleep. Wonderful thing, sleep. Wonderful thing. Sleep.
Wonderful sleep. He's right. Wonderful. No, mustn't think about that. Mustn't think about anything but staying awake. Wonderful. No, isn't wonderful. Horrible, horrible sleep. I won't sleep. I'm so tired. If I could close my eyes. Just a minute. Just a second. I wouldn't sleep. Rest. Just rest. No. I'd fall asleep and then... Got to stay awake. Got to stay awake. Just close my eyes for a second. Just a second. Could sleep.
Won't.
Sleep.
Won't.
Dream. I am asleep. Dreaming. Walking. Where am I walking? Street. So long. Empty. Where am I walking? Running. Why should I run? Where am I running? I've got to stop running. Walk. But I can't stop. I can't. House. What is this house? No. I won't go up there. I won't. But I am. I won't. But I am. Going in. Who's in here?
Hello, Claire. Where's my father?
You again.
Where's my father?
You again.
Where's my father?
The same dream.
Where's my father?
Don't say that.
Where's my father?
Stop saying that.
Where's my father?
No.
Where's
stop
my father?
Saying that.
Where's
close
my
your
father?
Mouth.
Where's
stop saying
father?
That. Stop. All right, I'll
where's
make
my
you
father?
Stop.
Where's my
drink
father?
This. Drink. Just like the other time. Drink. Drink. Dream? Running
in my dream. Just a dream.
Wait. Where are you going?
No. Don't touch me. Put me down. Don't swing me around. I can't stand it. I'm getting dizzy. Round and round and round. Faster, faster, faster. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go.
Why am I screaming? Just a dream. I'll stop screaming. Dark. Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Tunnel. Someone following me. Something. No! I know what it is. I know. They won't get me. Never get me. Run, run, run. Never catch me. Never, never. Can't go any farther. End of tunnel. River. Can't go. It's so dark. And it's still coming for me. No, you won't get me. Won't get me. Swim. I can swim. Swim in the dark. Away from... What am I swimming in? Can't see what... Oh. Swimming in... Oh. No. I remember now. It's a dream. Oh, this is just a dream. Just a dream. Just a dream. You can wake up out of a dream. I will wake up. I've got to wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up. You're having a nightmare. Claire, you're having a nightmare. Wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to reassure ourselves that we're not dreaming, supposing we take time out from the story of the dream and leave Claire and Charles long enough to slow down our galloping bloodstream, and while we're doing that, listen to some young ladies discussing a problem that is most important to them in these times.
Of course you're lonesome. You mope at home all the time. Why, I'll bet you haven't seen the gang in months.
Oh, but nobody wants to see me anymore. And I'm so thin and tired and all in, I just don't care. Oh, if I could only feel good once again.
Maybe you can, and quickly, too. Maybe you're one of the thousands today who suffer simply from vitamin B and iron shortage. If you are, why don't you try ironized yeast tablets? They give you both these vital substances, and believe you me, they are vital. You see, when you don't get enough vitamin B from your food, you may lose your appetite, not eat all you need. Why, even what you do eat may not do you the good it should. So, naturally, you lose weight, lose your pep, feel frazzled out. And when you don't get enough iron from your food, you may be weak and pale, yet it's these pleasant little ironized yeast tablets that have been of such amazing benefit to thousands who only needed more vitamin B and iron. Today, these thousands tell how quickly ironized yeast helped them gain glorious new strength and pep, new pounds, new popularity. So, try ironized yeast tablets if more vitamin B and iron is what you need. Then see you soon, you aren't saying...
Oh, I feel wonderful. I've gained pounds. That weary, washed-out feeling is gone, and now I'm really enjoying life. Oh, how I wish I'd tried ironized yeast tablets ages ago.
And now back to Lights Out. It's the following morning. The husband and the doctor stand outside the bedroom door discussing the dream.
Acting this way isn't going to help her, Mr. Collins. I'll grant you that it's serious not sleeping for 6 days. But I'm positive she'll be sensible now and tell me what it's all about.
But the way she lies there, Doctor, her eyes...
I told you, stop thinking about it. You ask me to help her, and I'll help her. Now go make yourself some coffee while I go in and talk to her.
But I... All right, Doctor.
And stop worrying. Morning, Mrs. Collins. Mind if I talk to you? I understand you had a bad time with it. Well, I can understand you don't feel much like talking. Suppose I pull up a chair, sit down, do the talking myself.
What do you want?
Something very simple. The truth.
Truth?
Yes, if not for your sake, for your husband's.
What do you mean?
I want to find out the source of your dreams. If you don't tell me, the consequences may be disastrous. The human organism simply can't endure without the proper rest. Mrs. Collins, I beg of you. Tell me. You must.
I...
Yes?
I must sleep.
Of course.
If I tell you, you swear you won't tell him?
You have my word as a physician.
I've been married to Charles for 2 years.
Yes?
I was never married before, but I'm his second wife.
I know.
He had a child by that first wife. I didn't like that child. He was always a reminder that Charles loved someone before me. I didn't like that.
Well, go on, Mrs. Collins. Now, Mrs. Collins, please. Go on and tell me. No, you shouldn't do that. Mrs. Collins, there's only one answer to this. You must take a sedative and get some rest. A few hours of sound sleep and everything will straighten itself out. I'm sure of that. Now, you will take a sedative, won't you?
Yes, I will.
Fine. You'd better take some right now while I'm here. Water. Here you are. Drink this. Come now, drink.
Leave it. I will.
Promise?
Yes.
Here's the sedative. Take two now, and if that doesn't do it, take two more in, say, half an hour. I'll leave you more than enough.
All right.
Now, you will take it.
Yes.
It's the only sensible thing to do. I'll drop in and see you this afternoon. I know that after you've slept, you'll feel more like talking.
Yes.
Now, sleep well. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sleep well. Sleep well. Sedative. Yes. Sleep well. Must sleep, must. But if I sleep... I've got to sleep. Got to. Don't care what happens. Got to sleep. Water. Where? He left the glass. Yes. Pills. How many? I don't know. I don't know. Put them in. Drink. Drink it all. We'll sleep. We'll sleep. What if it doesn't work? Oh, doctor said I will sleep. Close my eyes. Don't care. Will sleep. Will sleep. Will. Dream. I'm asleep. Dreaming again. Walking. Where am I walking? Street. Alone. Empty. Where am I walking? Running. Why should I run? Where am I running? I've got to stop running and walk. But I can't stop. I can't. House. What is this house? No. I won't go up there. I won't. Not again. But I am. I don't want to. But I am. I won't go in. But I am. Going in. Who's in here?
Hello, Claire. Where's my father?
You again.
Where's my father?
You again.
Where's my father?
The same dream.
Where's my father?
Don't say that.
Where's my father?
Stop saying
Where's
that.
Where's my father?
No,
Where's
stop
my
saying
father?
That. Close Where's your mouth. Stop
Where's
saying
my
that.
Father? Where's
stop.
My father?
All right, I'll make you stop. Drink. I'll drink. Just like the other time. Drink. Drink. That stopped you. Didn't it? Dead. Jimmy. You're dead. I did kill you. That's the way it was. I did kill you. There. I said it. I did kill you. I had to. Every time I looked at you, it was the infernal first wife of his I saw. You understand? I had to kill you. Gone. Jimmy. gone. That never happened before. Never happened before in my dream. Dream. Just a dream. Why do I run? It's just a dream.
Wait. Where are you going?
Oh. No. Don't touch me. Put me down. Don't swing me around. I can't stand it. You're getting dizzy. Around and around and around. Faster, faster, faster. Don't let me go. 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 Why am I screaming? It's just a dream. I'll stop screaming. So dark. Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Oh, no. Someone following me. Something. No! After me again. Again. It won't get me. Never get me. Run, run, run. Never catch me. Never. Can't go any farther. End of tunnel. River. Can't go. So dark. And it's still coming for me. No, you won't get me. Swim. I can swim. Swim in the dark. Away from. What am I swimming in? Can't see what. Oh. Swimming in. Oh. No. I remember now. It's a dream. Oh, this is just a dream. Just a dream. Just a dream. You can wake up out of a dream. I will wake up. Why can't I wake up? It's just a dream. A dream. Only at this moment I've been able to wake up. Coming through the water. After me. I've got to wake up. I've got to wake up. I can't swim in this. I can't. I've got to wake up. Why can't I wake up? Dream. Just a dream. Always woke up before. Why can't I wake up out of this dream? What if I could never wake up out of this dream? The pills. The doctor's pills. I took all of them. He said only two. But I remember, I didn't think I took all of them. I'm not dreaming. I'll never wake up out of this dream. I'm dead.
Ah, Mr. Obler. Trapped in a dream, huh?
Why not? You know, Frank, there are some people that say that for all we know, all of us are in a dream.
Did you ever see a dream walking? Well, I did.
Oh, seriously. Doesn't everything exist only through your senses? What you see exists, what you hear exists, what you smell exists. But the existence of things in a dream is just as real. Is it possible that right at this moment you're dreaming?
Well, time out till I pinch myself.
Out?
No. I'm awake enough to want to know what's happening next week.
Well, next week. It's a really exciting story.
But
supposing you tell me first, Frank, what you've got to say, and I'll follow you.
Well, I'll just take a moment for another very important point about ironized yeast. Folks, if vitamin B and iron shortage is what's keeping you miserably thin and weak and jittery, for your own sake, get ironized yeast tablets right away. They cost but a few pennies a day, and you don't risk even those few pennies. For ironized yeast is sold on a money-back basis. That's right. If you don't quickly begin to eat and sleep better, to gain new pounds, to feel much stronger and peppier, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. But remember, there's only one Ironized Yeast. You'll know it by the big letters IY on the package and on each tablet. Now, what were you saying about next week's story, Mr. Ober?
Well, before I tell you that, there's something of vital importance to you and me I'd like to talk about. I mean, to all of you out there. It's inflation. Yes, that's a terror as much as a nightmare. The fight against inflation involves every man, woman, and child. This is a front on which, in the words of President Roosevelt, everyone in the United States will be privileged to remain in action throughout the war. Now, what causes the present danger of inflation? Our factories are working at top speed, but They're turning out equipment needed to win the war. Not goods for you. More to spend, less to buy. This is the danger point. This can be the beginning of disastrous inflation if we start bidding against each other for the limited amount of goods on hand. If each of us tries to get hold of everything he can, we force prices up. Savings, insurance policies are wiped out. Now, our government has taken steps to control the rising cost of living, and you, well, you ought to know about those details. These include provisions for keeping prices stable and for distributing goods fairly through rationing. As part of the same anti-inflation program, wages and farm prices have been stabilized, and excess profits are being taxed. We can beat inflation if all of us understand these measures are a protection to ourselves and work to make them effective. We shall lose out to inflation if each group and individual acts on the principle of, he got something, I'm going to get something too. Now, beating inflation means buying only what we need, putting aside for the future every other extra dollar. And now about next week's play. It's a story about a man who did exactly this. He took out a match, he lit it. And he looked into the flame, and as he did so, he thought to himself, why, that little dancing thing in the flame is alive. For life, he knew, was anything that moved by itself and fed another matter. And that definition certainly applied to the flame. So we lit another match, and then... But that's next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, The Flame.
Lights Out, on Tuned 2 yesterday from March 16th, 1943 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of horror on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.